This is Kate from conversationswithkate.net, inviting you to join us and improve your listening comprehension while you learn from conversations with my guests from all over the world. I created this podcast for English language learners who want to stress less and become more confident when speaking in English. This is episode number 40. My guest today is Kara Leopold, a listening specialist with a clear mission. Kara helps advanced English learners who love TV and cinema fall back in love with their favorite films and series by getting subtitle free. Welcome to the podcast, Kara.
Hi, Kate. Thanks very much for having me.
It's a pleasure. I just love the way that you found your niche, or niche, some people say. Our conversation will be a great follow-up to last week's episode with Alexandra Capigna, who talked about creative short films. So your comments and suggestions will be especially valuable to our listeners who enjoy watching TV series and longer movies.
Yeah, very true. Yeah, because what Alexandra does is focusing on short films, which is a really fantastic idea.
So anyway, let's start with a little background. You grew up in the UK and studied French as a second language, right?
Yeah, you know more about me than I realized.
Okay, yeah. Well, I've been following you for a while. So okay. The question that I always ask my guests first is, when did you first realize that there were other languages? Do you remember?
So I was just thinking about this just before getting on the call for recording this. So yeah, I was trying to think about it because I grew up in Scotland. So, I mean, it's not really known for, well, there's not many people in Scotland. It's the most sparsely populated area of the UK. So, you know, you've got the four nations, Scotland, England, Wales, and Northern Ireland. So there's not many of us. There's not a huge kind of immigrant population either. And even if, you know, in Scotland, there are people who speak Gaelic and for whom it's their native language. That's something I only found out recently, but it's more in the Highlands and Islands. And I mean, I was living in a more central location where it's pretty much dominated by English and also the Scots dialect, which I guess is a little bit different. Well, it's obviously a little bit different from English, but I mean, if you speak English, you can understand it. But that does have specific words that you wouldn't find in standard English. So maybe that's like an initial introduction. But I guess I didn't think of that as like a separate language. So I actually learned a little bit of Gaelic at school, Scottish Gaelic, because we had the option.
Wonderful.
And then growing up, we did have people around who were from different countries. Because, I mean, like, it's very normal in the UK. There's a lot of people who are originally from, like, India or Pakistan. So, but I would say if they're speaking, Urdu or Hindi or whatever, it's more like in the home. It's not something you hear out in the street. And it's the same with, like, weirdly growing up. I grew up in a village, but there were at least, like, we knew, like, three families where the mum was Dutch. So, like, for some reason, all these Dutch women had fallen in love and married Scottish men. But again, it was never, you would hear them speaking English with like a Dutch accent, but like you didn't really hear them speaking Dutch. Like, do you know, like not in front of you or anything, because obviously you don't, you know. So I think that's the thing, like people are always, you know, even if their origin is different or their heritage is different, because English is so dominant in the UK, obviously.
Sure.
You don't really appreciate it until someone sits you down and kind of is like, right, here's another language. It's completely different. You're going to have to, you know, otherwise it's a bit hidden, which I guess is a shame. You know, you don't walk down the street and hear lots of different languages like you might do if you lived somewhere more cosmopolitan.
But it sounds like you probably tuned your ear to different accents and different ways of speaking English early on.
Yeah, I guess so. And actually, I have to say, for, you know, because I make Scotland sound like really sort of provincial or like closed in or something, it's not, you know, it's not the case. Even where we grew up, which was a village environment, you know, we were near the city of Stirling, which, well, I mean, it's not a huge place, but there is a university, and that's where my dad worked. And on the university campus, there were people from all over the world. It was really, really international. And as kids, we spent quite a lot of time there because we used to go to like nursery and playgroup actually on the campus. Mm-hmm. And my mum was even studying there for a bit. So yeah, we would see people from like all over the world. But I don't know, as a kid, I don't know if you really, do you really pick up on the fact that people are maybe speaking other languages? Or again, probably because they're studying in the UK environment, like they're going to use English. But it was like completely monolingual. My parents are both Scottish. They certainly don't speak Gaelic. I guess like everybody in Scotland, they do use Scots dialect words, but maybe not like as much as, even that's on a continuum. Like,
can you give an example?
So for like a good example is like, instead of saying yes in Scots, we will say aye.
Uh-huh.
So, and that's even common sometimes in the north of England, like in Newcastle, you will hear that as well. People saying aye instead of yes.
Right.
And later I moved to England and like very quickly I stopped saying I started saying yes, like a normal English speaker, because it just kind of marks you out too much probably as a Scottish person.
Uh-huh. But to me, those are lovely differences. And the minute you said that, it brought to mind a Scottish man who I worked with in one of my first schools, which was an international school, you know, and I can just hear him saying that. So, I, of course, I love languages. And so to me, those differences are really fun and wonderful.
Okay. But yeah, that's like a huge one in terms of words that you use obviously you use the word yes pretty often, but that's something I kind of stopped using after I moved to England when I was 11, 12. So I kind of quickly had to adapt to a place with a different accent, different dialect. Certainly didn't really want to stand out as being Scottish.
No, not as a teenager, for sure.
No. It's difficult enough when you arrive. People were very curious about it. You know, like, it's so funny, like, again, in the UK, I mean, you would think we all were on different planets. Like, there's people who have never, you know, they've never been to the different nations. So they have all these weird, like, received ideas and stereotypes about people. And it's really crazy, isn't it? Because we're all on the same island at the end of the day. But, yeah, sometimes there are some, you know, some negative, I guess it even between different regions within the same, you know, nation, but yeah.
Certainly that's true in the US. I think it's human nature.
Yeah, I think so. But anyway, it was nice to experience like living in more than one UK nation. So like, that's why I like to call myself British, because I've lived in, you know, Scotland and England. And I guess it was after the move to England, I mean, that's when I started learning French.
When you said that you moved to France, I think I read on your website that you did that to really learn the language, because you felt that some of the teaching and maybe self-study strategies that you were using weren't getting you to fluency.
I moved to France in 2007, so that was after I had finished my undergraduate degree. And I'd had some opportunities in the previous couple of years to spend like a month or 6 weeks in France, and I really, really enjoyed it, and I really felt that was what I needed to do to really make my French not even fluent, but more like native-like, because to all intents and purposes you could argue that it was fluent, in that I could probably make myself understood about most things that I wanted to say. It just wasn't very idiomatic, and that annoyed me. You know, just that you have to kind of paraphrase everything to get, you know, to be able to say what you want. So yeah, I wanted to make it more native like and I was like, well, I'll just move to France, although I don't necessarily think that's the key to that, but it worked out well enough for me. So yeah, so I don't regret it or anything.
Yeah. But I think your comment about wanting to be able to speak idiomatically is important. And it sounds like you've created somewhat what you wish you had, because by watching TV shows and movie dialogues, you really are picking up that kind of idiomatic language, don't you think?
You do, but it's still like it's still a bit of a struggle, really, because you're kind of like you're eavesdropping in on a conversation and you can't necessarily get the help that you need to understand it if you're just kind of sitting around watching a movie. It sort of gets kind of laborious with the subtitles, whereas I think living in a country and then being around French people, you can like you get a lot of opportunities to hear the same things, so you get a lot of repetition and you can obviously get like direct feedback because you just try things out and then you see how people react, see if they look at you in a funny way. But I was doing all the immersion strategies before I left, but I think I was immersing myself in the wrong sort of things, because it's when you get here you realize that you're sort of missing a bit of that conversational, like just everyday French. And because that's not really the focus, is it? If you're doing a degree, they have to kind of test you on complicated things and not everyday things. And even the immersion, I mean, it really, I feel like I've arrived from the 18th century or something sometimes, because even in the mid 2000s, which is kind of like when I was at university, like there really wasn't much material. Even the internet was not the, you know, they talk about internet 2.0, and like, you know, I remember the 1.0 internet, it's just like, there wasn't YouTube. Mm-hmm. There wasn't social media. You know, I really feel like I'm coming from another era, but I mean, there wasn't stuff like this. So like I used to listen to like the French radio on like an actual radio, like, because I could tune in to certain stations, and I used to get the like a French magazine delivered to the news agents where we live. Like, can you imagine? Like, it sounds like I was learning in, yeah, maybe not the 18th century or whatever I said, but it certainly felt like it feels like a bygone epoch now. And I think now with the internet, you can really immerse yourself in sort of everyday French much more easily, which is really good. Like, I wouldn't want to go back to, you know, it was almost like more analog when I was doing it, you know, like printed magazines, printed newspapers, even like for films, like I used to get videos from the library, like they had films on video. And then you don't necessarily have the subtitle options with that. Like, so you're kind of stuck watching this video of a film and you're not really sure what's going on. Yeah, it's crazy. Like, you don't, and obviously you can avoid all of these problems now.
Yeah, it's amazing. I think language learning stayed pretty much the same for a long time. And now in the last, 5-10 years, it's really sped up and continues to change daily. And so would you say that it's still possible to develop this kind of conversational, you know, approach to language without moving to a country if you watch things that are conversational, but then also make sure that you're, you know, either speaking with a native speaker or in some kind of community where you can discuss films or TV shows?
Yeah, definitely. I think there's many more like options. Like, I'll just move abroad is not like a default. Although I do think it is an option for somebody who's reached maybe an intermediate or upper intermediate level. It can be interesting. But yeah, if 10 years ago we had all the things we have now, you know, would I have moved so readily? Would I have stayed for so long? I don't know. I guess I'm not just here for the language now. I'm also here for my life. Yes. But certainly, yeah, I would definitely reconsider my options, knowing that with everything that we have now, like the ability to have lessons on Skype, or all the options for courses, all the YouTubers you can listen to, and, you know, all this kind of, and, you know, even if English is dominant on the internet, French is not too far behind. Like, there's enough material that you could have a really enriching immersion experience without moving for so long, I would say.
So, I think that's definitely true. You've been listening to part one of my conversation with Cara Leopold. To find out more about Cara and how she helps advanced English learners become subtitle free, visit her website at leo-listening.com. You can download a transcript and lesson guide for this and other episodes when you join the Conversations with Kate Patreon community. It's a small investment in the future of this podcast and provides you with English language learning materials for as little as $2 a month. Learn more by visiting my website, www.conversationswithkate.net, and click on Listen to the Podcast. Thanks to Aaron Burdett for our music. This is Kate. Remember that every day is a gift. I'm honored that you spent some of your precious time with me. Thank you for listening. Until next time.